It's something you probably weren't ready for or didn't know was coming. The contract is something we drew up a year ago because of the frustrations we were having moving the ministries forward. On the back end of that, we received a prophetic word that it would take 2 to 3 years for the contract to meet itself out. In the last year, we've had some forward movement on several fronts. We're in process of, for the daycare, we're looking at a building just around the corner. And we have meetings this week with health inspectors and building inspectors. And the goal is if we can dot I's and cross T's, we will move the daycare into its own building just around the corner. And it will help facilitate that process. So anyway, we're moving forward. The reason I need to kind of do this way, I've been working this month on creating a sweet smell, and we, as part of our year of work, this particular month, our focus is the ministry of the Holy Spirit. I've been speaking the last 2 weeks on the existence of the Holy Spirit, why we have to sow and reap to the flesh, not to the flesh, but to the Spirit, but also living and walking in the Spirit. This week, I'm only going to take a few minutes because the prophet of the house has some words for folks, and we're going to release her to do that. But I thought I should at least preface it by saying this. This week, I was going to actually work out of 2 Timothy 1:6, which is the passage that you're all familiar with. I'm sure it is that whole thing about, excuse me, I got to catch my throat. Stir up the gifts that were given to you by the laying on of hands. So there it is. Oh. And I'm not going to talk long. I'm just going to give you a thumbnail on it because I really would like you to experience you know, the prophetic activity that God has been kind of, you know, building in the house. We've been having a little more and a little more and a little more. So this morning we're going to do some of that to close the sermon out, so I don't want to be too long. This is a unique opportunity because our focus here for the last almost 20 years is trying to figure out how to operate in gifting. You know, it isn't just the hearing God, which we teach and preach and talk a lot of. How does God speak to us? How does he draw us into relationship? How do we figure out what our calling and purpose? I mean, these are all things that we've been working on for quite a while. And in so doing, we have seen multiple gifts that have begun to manifest, whether it's, you know, administrative gifts, whether it's here, excuse me, words of knowledge, words of wisdom, prophecy, encouragement, exhortation. We are seeing an outpour of those things over the last several years, and it's continuing and it's getting better. And I believe that as a body of believers, number one, God says each one has been given a gift. So once we understand who Christ is and accept him as our Savior, he imparts into us a gift. And this verse in Timothy, it's really kind of interesting because that word stir up literally means to revive. That God placed something in you that is not functioning like it should, and it is our intention, it is God's intention, that you find what that gift is and you revitalize it, you bring it back to life. And one of the things that's important about that, this passage leads us to believe that the process is helped when leadership, in this case Paul, lays hands on the people and stirs it up or revitalizes it, maybe is the phrase I want to use. So in my head, I just wanted to spend a few minutes this morning giving you a couple things as the process of developing gifting. Hearing God is important, not only to find relationship with him, but Jesus knew how and where and when to use his gifting. He just didn't willy-nilly walk around and go and do. I mean, and I've shared this with you, and I've been preaching on it in with our Kenyan brothers and sisters, that Jesus knew Lazarus was going to be raised for 3 days before he raised him. He just didn't run over there and do it. There was a time frame of expectation. God told him, hey, you need to kind of head that way, but it isn't going to happen until this point. This is the thing when we talk about understanding gifting and we talk about, you know, what is it, how is it, when is it, why is it, there are clues in Scripture that help us understand the timing and the function and the application of gifting. It is our job to stay faithful, to stay close to the Lord, to hear, not only that he's in relationship and answering our prayers and working on our behalf, but when he is depositing gifting and he is expecting us to operate in said gifting, there is a time frame. There is a developmental process. I'd love to tell you that it's instantaneous, it's quick. You know, you receive, you know, the infilling of the Holy Spirit and you're good to go. I mean, if that's the case, why did it take Elisha 12 years to learn how to be a prophet under Elijah? I mean, there is a training and a releasing and an operational process that the body has to work through. I wish it was simple and easy. Number two, I mean, I've been preaching on this and talking about it, but holiness has to be a lifestyle. Because the Bible is very clear that God and Satan can't dwell in the same vessel. So if you really want the Lord to use and to do something uniquely through you, the concept and construct of holiness is not elective. It's a requirement. Because the more room that God has to mess around inside of here and do what he's supposed to do, and the less Satan has his influences inside of us, then the greater opportunity we can use and be used and use the gifts he's given us. Because we're not distracted, we're not divided in our thoughts, in our ambitions, in our goals, and our ideas. Number three, figuring out the triggers is the important thing. Gifting isn't just you wake up one morning and boom, it's there. You know, God is going to place within you whatever gift it is, whether it's healings, miracles, prophecy, signs and wonders, whatever it is. We have to figure out what gift it is and when we're supposed to use it. And how we're supposed to use it. The triggers are the important things. Because it's just like, you know, whether it's the Gennesaret man, you know, Jesus casting out demons, or the man at the pool of Bethesda, you have to be at the right point, at the right time, doing the right thing in order for it to happen. And that comes when God places inside of us the unction to do, the ability to pull it off, and we are in the right place to make it happen. And it's not accidental, it's intentional. So I keep coming back to this process, because, you know, Lori and I was talking this week, and, you know, the gift of wisdom is one that is very hard to get a hold of. Because normally, like with a gift of wisdom, you say it, and then people go, wow, that was good. Well, whatever it is that you just said, that was awesome. Well, the giver or the one who carries the gift has to recognize when it's I, me, you, or when it's the Holy Spirit moving in you that brings forth this nugget that is unique, that is impactful, that is powerful, that is life-changing. It doesn't happen every day. And the one who has the gift of wisdom has to recognize the time, the place, and when it happens, make reference of it. You know, this is one of the hard things that I wish it was just simple. I mean, for those of you who know what I'm talking about, the struggle to separate your thoughts from God's thoughts, from Satan's temptations, you understand what I'm saying here. This unction of the Spirit, which then moves you to operate in a gifting, is a processorial construct. I mean, we have to work at it. And I'd love to tell you that every 5 minutes you're going to utter, you know, a prophetic word or a word of knowledge or word of wisdom. It doesn't work that way. But when it comes, we have to seize the moment and understand what makes this moment unique and learn from it. Why is it God needed a word here and with these people? How did I receive it? Where did it come from in this construct that is my head? Because I'll tell you, if you operate at all in gifting, one of the things you're going to recognize is that urge to speak, followed by whatever it is that comes out of you, whether it's knowledge, wisdom, prophecy, encouragement, exhortation, it comes from a certain place in your brain, triggered by the Holy Spirit. It's not your normal random thoughts that are going on all day long that just keep moving and round and you're thinking and doing. And it's not Satan messing with you, trying to discourage you, trying to depress you, trying to get you off track. There is another voice that we have to learn how to hear inside of our head. The Bible says that God speaks to us in a still small voice. Figuring out that voice is the beginning process of trying to figure out how to use your gifts and where to use them and when to use them. Perfecting the process of operation is my fourth and final point. I keep telling people all the time, you know, there's people that pray over people, and they get a healing 5% of the time, 10% of the time, 15% of the time. Why is it they're not getting healing 60, 70, 80, 90% of the time? Because they're praying out of step. They're praying out of their own unction. They're praying out of their own empathy. They're praying out of their own sympathy. They're praying because that's all they know to do. And I'm not saying it's horrible. I'm saying if you're going to get it right, you got to perfect the process. If you can perfect the process of hearing prophetically, if you can perfect the process of hearing words of knowledge, if you can perfect the process of getting words of wisdom, then you can perfect the process of miracles and healings. It all comes down to the unction and hearing and being in right alignment. And it takes time. And I know this is different than what you hear in a lot of places, but scripturally speaking, I'm standing on right ground. Jesus, you know, it's like the man at the pool of Bethesda. He could have healed everybody that was laying there to get a miracle. Remember the story? Everybody goes to the pool. When the water stirs, the first one in the water gets the miracle and they get healed. It doesn't matter what their problem is. So everybody's laying around the pool. Jesus walks in through all the bodies, finds the one man, heals him, and walks out. Why did he only heal the one? Nobody wants to answer this question. It was that man's time. And Jesus was the answer. And if we are to follow in his footsteps, then we have to work on perfecting the process. It isn't okay just to pray over 100 people and settle for 5. Why did the 95 not get healed when you prayed over them? Was it your unction? Was it not God's timing? I mean, what's going on? Never blame the victim. Never blame the person that doesn't get healed. We have to understand how to perfect the process inside of us so that I'm where I'm supposed to be, doing what I'm supposed to be doing, when I'm supposed to be doing it, with whom I'm supposed to be doing it. It doesn't mean we can't give people words of encouragement. It doesn't mean we can't pray over them for God's steadfastness. But we got to get to this point where we're operating inside of the unction of what God has placed inside of us and walk in alignment with his plan and his will, not only for our lives, but for the people around us. So having said that, I'm done. Because this week, we're dotting a few I's and cross a few T's. I'll speak one more time next week on the movement of the Holy Spirit. And next month, we're moving into what's it like to operate under the weight of the Holy Spirit, under the unction of the Spirit. I'm going to turn it over to the boss lady.
Can you type while I talk when I tell you, when I get to some numbers? So there's a couple things. I know that you're giggling now. I know. It won't be much. Okay, it'll be okay. It'll be okay. We can do this. So we did the legal document because one of the attributes or one of the characteristics or one of the descriptions that we have of our Heavenly Father is that he is a judge. And because we were having obstacles and you know, trying to get move forward, and yet it seemed like we were in Daniel 10, and it just seemed like we would pray and things would get held up. And one of the things that we try to stress is that we need to understand who God is and at this point in time. Is he our judge? Is he our shepherd now? Is he our guide now? What is he focusing on? What attribute do we need to focus on? And so the legal document was coming at this as he was our judge. And to take it before him and ask him to render a decision on our behalf. That's where that stems from. And so we did that. It was a year ago, this Sunday, a year ago, where Al read and we, you know, because we had prayed over this and looked at all the things and wanting to move forward in the work that he had for us. So coming into on that Sunday a year ago, one of the things that we believe we heard from the Lord was that we would see the fullness, the word was fullness, of his response in 2 to 3 years. Okay? So at the end of 1 year, what lies ahead of us, we're coming into year two. And so I was sitting doing my prayer time this week and reflecting. Joel said he kept thinking, reflect, this, that was the word he had for this Sunday. I was sitting in my chair all week and I'm reflecting over this last year and where we're at, because I know that we're coming to the end of this first year and we're stepping into year two. We would see the fullness in years 2 and 3. So a couple things happened. He shared some things or reminded me of some things that I'm going to share with you, because I want you to, if you haven't remembered it, because, you know, a year's a long time and a lot has happened in this year. I mean, my gosh, you know, our communities are still in uproar. There's a lot that's been going on in this last year. So I want to share with you some things that he reminded me of. I want you to see how he's already been working in this first year, because he said the fullness would be in years 2 and 3. And then as I sat in my chair reflecting, he started giving me some direction on some things that we need to pray over people for. So we're going to do that this morning. If this gets long and you need to leave, you know you can always step out and it's all good. But I'm telling you, there's some words we're going to be praying over people. It isn't me. It is, I have a list. I was just like writing, because it was things that individuals that he wanted specifically to pray over somebody else. Because remember, freely we have received, freely we give. So, and we do this together as a body. So this, I was sitting in my chair, and first he reminded me of all the things with Africa. We've been going to Africa since 2010. We received the word about going to Africa in 2001. It took 9 years. Pastor Apostle says timing. It took 9 years. First time we went was in 2010. Last week, we weren't able to go. We were planning to go, and we ended up doing our first video conference with them all week long. You heard about that last week. Africa, Kenya has, we are in 6 countries, and I say we, Pine Grove has impacted 6 countries, Tanzania, Kenya, Uganda, Rwanda, Congo, Burundi. Is that 6? Closing up. Okay, so that's where we're. And Kenya, within this last year, and I believe this is coming out of our contract, this legal document that we took to the Lord and said, give us breakthrough, give us a ruling, give us a decision. We have now spread over to the east coast of Kenya, And we had people in the video conference from Mombasa, from Lamu. That's all. That's right underneath Somalia. It's a very dangerous area for Americans, for Europeans, because of the Somalis. But they have spread their outreach. We are going to have Bishop Moses come one Sunday, video conference. He's going to share. He was infilled with the Holy Spirit. He had like a 2.5-hour visitation where he was engulfed with this bright light. God spoke to him. He is on fire. He's going to come share that testimony with us sometime in November, video conference, and he's going to be preaching for us. And so Africa's the first thing the Lord reminded me of. He has protected us through a year and a half of pandemic. We have been sick, but nobody who is a member or who attends has died. And there's been a lot of sorrow. There's been a lot of deaths. I hear it from my students all over the country. God has taken care of us. He has blessed. He has watched over us. And we cannot forget that. How good he has been to us, keeping us safe. And then I was sitting there and the Lord just said, count up your assets. Count up your assets. And he was talking about the church. Count up your assets. Now, people look at our church and they think, oh, you're just a little white church. You're just a little neighborhood church. And if you look at our numbers, somebody coming in might say, oh, yeah, you're just a little church. We've always said it's not the size of our numbers, it's the size of our God. Amen? So I want to show you, because in Revelations, and I'm going to read this verse, in Revelations 4, verse 1, it says, after this I looked, and behold, the door was opened in heaven. And the first voice which I heard was a great trumpet talking with me, which said, come up hither, and I will show you these things which must be hereafter. So he's showing things that are to come. You've heard us talk many times about Amos 3:7, and it says that the Lord does nothing without revealing it to his people ahead of time. He does nothing. And this verse in Revelations is saying the same thing. Come up here, let me talk to you, and I'll show you what's coming. And so I want to show you, as we reflect, I want to remind you what God has done in the first year. Because fullness is coming in 2 and 3. And if we can get our heads around this, this just ought to be mind-blowing. And I don't care if they call us a small church. We ain't no small church. We're a strike force. When God tells us to do something, we know it's him. We go out and we stay at it until we get it done, and to build kingdom and impact for him. So I want to show you with what's going on. So Tracy, if you could just put current church building, 400,000. Now, I'm assuming that that's what, it could be more than that. This property sits on four lots. This building, not the parsonage. The parsonage sits on 2 lots. This building sits on 4 lots. And if we put a value on it, okay, I'm just going to say 400,000. I don't think it's less than that because of what I'm going to show you. So keep that in mind. Okay, so the new building, the one right around the corner in Parsons that we're looking at is 300 and Parsons building, roughly 350, 325, right in there. The parsonage could easily sell for 325 right now because all of the houses around it that have sold in the last 6 to 8, 9 months have sold for roughly 325 and 360. If you add all those numbers up, what number do you get? Can we just say $1 million? That blew me out of my chair. I've been in this congregation since 1995. There have been many years where we've struggled. We've always gotten ministry done. The Lord's always been faithful. But at the end of the year, we're probably sitting at zero in our balance sheet. The Lord in the last year has bumped us with, when we close on that building, we will be well over $1 million in assets. Does that not blow your mind? For those of you that have been here. And it's not about the money. It's about showing you how good God has been to us. And if he has done this in the first year, and he says that fullness is coming in year two and three, and he's the owner of a cattle on a thousand hills. It's not about the money. It's about the opportunities. It's about what he has the ability to do for us when we stay faithful to him. I don't know about you, but that blew my mind. Because we talk about the church, and we talk about the parsonage, and we talk about the building. But when you put the whole package together, I mean, you get it? Does it kind of bless your socks off like it blessed mine? I mean, that's amazing to me. That's amazing to me. So I just, as I was sitting there, and I was just like, oh my gosh, Lord, you are so good to us. You've taken care of us. It doesn't matter if the world might call us small. You're not small. And you're taking, you're wanting to take us places. And he started pouring out some things that he wanted us to just pray over people specifically this morning. And so I have a list. I've got like 12 things. So, and I want to do this quickly. But I think you need to kind of, I want to read them, and as we read, I'm going to read through them, and then what I want is for us to break up, to pray over those for the sake of time, and then if we can close in one song, Joel, for worship, okay, for the worship team. So I'm going to read these 12 items, these 12 things that I really want us to pray over. Then we'll break up and pray over them in those groups, and you'll understand. And then we'll close in worship. And then we'll look forward and see what God has coming for us in the next 2 to 3 years in fullness.